Hello, beautiful beings of light, and welcome to Speak Your Truth podcast with your host, Sonia Mujib. Sonia is an integrative health and wellness coach, spiritual teacher, and transformational healer through her own journey of healing and awakening. Her mission is to help people awaken, expand their consciousness, and activate joy. This show is for people who are intrigued and passionate about health and wellness, the spiritual journey, including energy medicine, ascension, and having deep, soulful conversations with leaders and lightworkers from all walks of life who are also paving the way and helping to create a better planet.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining another episode of Speak Your Truth podcast with me, your host, Sonia Mujib. It has been a while since I published the last episode dealing with my own life, as you call it. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Anne Waymora. She has a PhD in clinical psychology, was licensed in California as a psychologist in 1982, became a certified life coach in 2008, and she's also trained in other programs and other modalities, like from the Brennan Healing Science, EMDR, Psyche, Theta Healing, Matrix Energetics. However, the healing that she received through inner child work, a program called MAP, M-A-P, and walking with spirit through being one with God is what was truly transformational for her. And another part of, we're going to get into all of that, but as far as her bio, she was always trying to be good. She became a conformist and started walking the traditional paths. And it wasn't until she left, and after decades, that her life has changed. And now she honors the heart before the head, intuition, spirit as her inner voice and guidance, and helps to show others a deep way of healing so they can also return back home to themselves. Anne is a creator of Facebook community Home for Healing Hearts, and she's also the author of Listen to the Cries of Your Heart. The reason why I was attracted to Anne on Instagram, as you know, I'm always looking for gems and beautiful humans that are helping the collective, helping bring the planet, shining new light, helping people get out of their, you know, traumas, imbalances. And I was attracted to her because a lot of these things I'm working on currently myself, as well as the rest of the collective. I think inner child healing is so important, and it's truly a gift to be able to do this work, because once you do it and you can cross over, I believe that you can truly not be inhibited and be abundant. And there is so much energy that is trapped from all of this trauma and drama. And again, even though it does serve a purpose, we are going to get into it. We're going to talk to Anne about all of this. So thank you so much for being here today, Anne.
I'm very happy to be here with you. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, thank you again for coming on and taking time out of your busy schedule. And I guess I just would like to jump into, how did you get involved with this? I see that you, along with a lot of other healers, you have mastered so many modalities, right? Because there's always this thirst, this quenching that we're looking for something. And I feel that you found it.
Yes. In fact, I was thinking about writing an Instagram message post on seeking, because many of us are consciously seeking. I wasn't consciously seeking for a long time. And once I started moving towards seeking, say 25 years ago, it was just curiosity. I'd find a book and I pick it up. One of the first books I picked up was Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. Mm-hmm. And I remember that after reading it, I said, I've been doing my life all wrong. This was shortly after I was 50, because up to that time, I had prized my intellect. And that never got me any answers. I realized, and this is the predisposition of the West, the Western mind, to prize the intellect, to prize science, to prize analysis. And as I say this, I remember reading little things from Einstein, who's probably regarded, you know, as a genius mind. But he himself had this a quotation where he talks about intuition, which I don't consider a mind quote exactly. He says that intuition should be the master, and instead we've let the mental mind be the master. And all the inner discoveries, spiritual discoveries that he made, I think is related to this, this recognition that intuition, which is not anything we're taught about in school, mm-hmm. and never in graduate education and psychology, nowhere. And it is the intuition which 4 or 5 years ago finally got my attention. So I started with Yogananda and realized that I needed to turn to the heart, because the head was dominant for so long. And about 4 years ago, intuition spoke to me with the title of became my book. And I was led through intuition to create an inner child method. I didn't start to say I'm interested in inner child healing and I need a method. I just followed the phrase, which helped me look at my life in the way I needed to. And then I discovered that inner child, I discovered the inner child in the course of that book. And since that time, as you summarized, very, very important healing happened. And being on Instagram, I must tell you, I'm impressed by the number of people doing inner child work. And I applaud them. We're all doing it together because it's such an important part of spiritual growth, such an important about emotional healing, personal development. There really isn't anywhere in life, I think, that doesn't have inner child healing as an essential part, even if people don't realize it.
Yeah, beautiful. I love that. I definitely feel that it's a sacred calling, and when you've reached, it's almost a, there's a juncture where you're merging with your higher self, your higher heart. You're leaving all the gunk of the 3D world, and you're merging with your higher self. And at that juncture, it's where you can't turn away from it. Right? I've seen that in my own life, where your nervous system starts to speak, right? It's your literal nervous system is like, okay, there has to be more. There has to be more to get to the heart. And I believe that once you cross the mind, you can get to the heart, but there is still, you know, at what point do you feel that you're done with the work? Because it with the way that my trajectory of my life is since my awakening, it's been healing one thing or the other, right? Whether it's ancestral work or relationships. Yeah. And now it's like the big realization came where beginning of this year, it was like, oh my God, I have had PTSD my whole life. And so that doesn't mean that my life is consumed by it or this is my identity. But what would you say for someone at that juncture? Because a lot of people who listen to my podcast are very conscious. They are sacred warriors. They are doing a lot of spiritual work, a lot of inner work, shadow work. They're not running away from these knocks, you know what I mean? And so there are a lot of people who project onto people that are doing the light work as saying, this is your identity or this is what, you know, this and that. But I don't feel that people truly understand unless they're actually doing the work.
Right. I'm just going to take a piece of what you said, and that's the journey is eventually a spiritual journey, no matter how you start out. And that's why I love, in particular, the inner child work, as I've written in my book. It's to return or embrace the original innocence of the child.
Mm.
So in terms of looking at what happens in incarnation, we left a realm of spirit. We incarnated into this world, which is crazy. And most of us have either dysfunctional families, unavailable mothers, or we even sense the sensitives, the creatives, the empaths, maybe even the womb, get a sense of how toxic and unfriendly the world is.
Mm.
So even then, there can be trauma to the young soul of knowing what it feels to be separate and alone.
Mm.
And that idea of being alone and needing needing that to be met, to feel you're not alone, that you're connected. That's the original instance, to know that you're connected, and then you forget that you're connected in whatever trauma that you experienced. So I feel that inner child work is to return us to our original innocence, and our original innocence is connected with spirit.
Right.
And therefore, yeah. And the other aspect of my work is I do the MAP work, the Make Anything Possible work with the subconscious.
Mm.
In MAP, we call the subconscious the superconscious, because we recognize that the subconscious is really the higher self aspect of us. And in working with the processes in MAP, a client, a participant, becomes very familiar of journeying with the healing of the superconscious to parts that were created in trauma, and to have the pain and the negativity neutralized and released, because all of the trauma ultimately creates walls around the heart.
Right.
So no matter where we are, right, whether we're light workers, ascension workers, or however we'll call it, energy workers, we can work. And if we don't meet the blocks, the that wall around the heart, and begin to heal what created the wall, we don't have the energy of the full heart available to us. We don't have the connections in the heart available, and it makes the journey more difficult.
Absolutely. 100%. Absolutely. You nailed it. And I feel that for a lot of us, going back to the innocence bit, a lot of the people on the planet right now have at some point, are, you know, again, with the deep work, are realizing that sometimes their innocence was taken by people that were supposed to take care of them, or family members.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
So where do we go from there? Because I know that many people are dealing with this exact thing, where they fall victim to their own circumstances. And what I've seen with my own self is there's a disconnect with the creator, because the persona starts thinking that this is because this happened to me. This was done
right
to me, and this is your fault. And then that disconnect with the heart happens, because you're essentially cut off from your own heart then.
Yeah, it's so subtle, complicated, and fascinating, this work about the trauma that we experience, you know, as young kids. And it's difficult, say, if a person is fixated on what happened with mother, which is often the sense of the basic experience of it. Because mother, there's this expectation and a kind of loyalty,
mm-hmm.
like if your mother is not going to love you, who is? Mm-hmm. So I need to do what I can to get mother to love me. Mm-hmm. So a young child starts off that way and can grapple at different times in their lives trying to get that love from mother, and it never is the love that's needed. This morphs into looking for love on the outside. Mm-hmm. So if it isn't from mother, it's from a boyfriend, it's from a girlfriend, it's from a lover, it's from a best friend, however it is. And because it's human love and rarely the pure love that we knew and is ultimately satisfying, we keep searching and failing as a consequence of that. So until you engage, you know, there is healing to do, and find whatever path works for you. So you return to your heart to begin to heal your loss. And one of the fundamental things I teach, and I know many people teach this as well, and I just exclamation point, use your emotions of anger, of sadness, of fear. Because these are triggering the young heart, triggering the inner child, because that's what they dealt with in the trauma. And they had to hide the pain and the intensity of these feelings so that you could survive.
Right.
But this meant, yeah, this meant a defense. But nonetheless, that's what the young parts did. And part of the inner child map work that I do brings the adult into the healing of these hearts so that that can be healed. And then the beliefs that come too, okay, besides emotion, the young parts adopted congruent beliefs about their experience. If they felt rejected, abandoned, abused, hurt in any way, they may not rationally come to the conclusion, but they decide, it must be my fault. I must be bad, defective, unlovable, unworthy, undeserving, some form of that. And so people can look at their lives and know that there's the running theme of I'm not good enough through their whole life.
Right.
I didn't realize that I was running on I'm not good enough for a really long time. And I, this episode in college comes to my mind. I was in an honors program, and our honors professor met with us. And the first time he did, and we had a conversation, I remember that I never felt more respected and taken seriously as I was in that conversation. I didn't get it then, but the part of me that felt wasn't deserving of this couldn't really take it in. Mm. But, you know, the experience was there. So that's another way that we reject the kind of healing love that can come from people, because they themselves can be compassionate and present to you. But you have to be open to that. And the other point is bringing the spiritual part, is that person is transmitting, being a channel of love, divine love.
Right.
And yeah, so everywhere there are people like that, who have that ability, and we may not be open to it. The other thing about the inner child is when I do the inner child work itself, I ask the adult to bring their compassion and their presentness to this child who felt very alone, because the attempt is to create a corrective experience. I take the attitude that time, all time is right here now. Mm-hmm. So when we do this work, it's as if we travel back to that time to be with the child. So the adult can provide that and channel that love child so that she or he can be healed in this process. So, yeah, I start off responding to you and forget how I started.
Yeah.
And then I come back, like, okay, I'm done now. I don't know where I was going.
Yeah, no, I love that. I think you hit on a couple really key aspects that, you know, emotions. What are emotions? Energy and motion, right? And sometimes, like Dr. Joe Dispenza said, there are people who are running on the longest emotions that are perpetually addicted to these emotions of stress, which are, you know, chronic fight or flight. There's anger, sadness, fear, yeah, shock, trauma. And the thing that I want to talk to you about is a lot of, you know, we have not been taught these fundamental things, which is so important. How to channel your anger, how to channel your frustration, how to sit with your fear until it dissolves. What we are programmed to do is run and run and run. We don't want to face it. And then here comes dark night of the soul, right? Here comes a dark night of the soul or two or five where you have nowhere to run, right? And then you are in the muck until you can dig your way out. Very uncomfortable. I'm definitely going through another dark night of the soul myself. And this is why I love having these raw conversations, because I know that I'm not the only one. And I know that there's a lot of work to do because consciousness needs to shift.
Yeah. So the anger, for example, or any fear or any sadness needs to be met. My attitude is, this is what the cries of your heart. And why would you run from your heart? Mm. You know? But we do it because we're used to it. We're addicted to running away, avoidance, denial, and so forth. And we believe that the fear, the anger, the sadness is overwhelming and we cannot stand it.
Right.
And that's why it's helpful to have someone who knows this journey to accompany you so that you can, for the first time, sit and meet your heart, meet the anger, meet the fear. And oftentimes with anger, where we come to is our heart's needs was not met at a particular time.
Right.
And in the original trauma, the heart's need for care and safety and love early on wasn't met. And we're angry, but it's a very, very old anger.
Yes.
And because it was never addressed, all the other times after that, every rejection piles on the anger until if you try to meet it now, it might feel overwhelming and become darkness, but it doesn't have to be, because it's the meeting, the embrace you need to make to get through it. The there are many wisdom quotes, and in my healing school, especially in the second year, I can see our teachers up on stage showing us it's through the wound. It's through the anger, it's through the fear, it's through the grief. You need to come to the other side of it.
Right.
And the other side of it is the original innocence.
Hmm.
It's light. It's, again, going through the darkness in order to make it through the light.
Hmm.
Not to be fixated that the light is the way. For some people, miraculously, it might be. But most of us need to face the the wounds and the darkness to get to the other side. There's an author called Michael Brown. He has written The Presence Process. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
Okay. The short story was he had a debilitating headache or something for over a year, and he tried everything under the sun to try to heal. But it was his journey to discover that what was healing for him is to be present. So, kind of like Eckhart Tolle, learning to be in the now, he teaches through his book, How to Be Present, how to let everything go and be right here and curious and attentive. And if you could be this open and present to any emotion, they will have the space to dissolve. So that is another process that I've come upon. And in the inner child work, as I started to say, the adult is asked to be as present as possible. Because this presence is more than just you showing up. It's like being in the now, being in the stillness. When you are there without your small self, without an agenda, without expectations, just being in the now, it allows spirit or presence with a capital P to be known and to feel the healing power of this presence, which is love. Because ultimately, I believe love, in the purest sense, is the only thing that heals. So whatever brings you to this will do the healing. And so people who meditate with the intention of listening to what is in the now will access spirit or source. And it is that is healing. Does this make sense?
Yes, totally makes sense. I know that in recently in my meditations, I try to do at least 45 to 55 minutes every day. And sometimes I'll have like sudden jolts of realization where I feel that spirit is showing me or clearing out something or showing me a trigger memory or giving me the space and time to release these emotions that have been trapped. Sometimes they're reoccurring, you know, not often, but sometimes there's things that are reoccurring that are being shown. And so what does the human mind do? The psyche goes, okay, well, what do I need to do? Where do I, you know, what healing do I need to do? Where do I need to go? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do EMDR now? Do I need to, now I'm actually getting trained in somatic therapy because it has, oh my gosh, it has helped me so tremendously to release these emotions and meet these ancient timelines. And so I'm just curious what you would say to, you know, when people do meet these certain memories, you know, where do you go from there?
Well, it's easy to think you're not making progress and you need to do more. It's easy to decide that you're not on the right path and you need another healing modality. For me, what is wonderful is MAP, because we see it as layers. Because you were not traumatized just once.
Right.
You were traumatized many times. And when you begin to heal, you begin to touch different inner children. But there is more. And you can just keep treating. So with superconscious, we do that. And with your meditation and your connection with spirit, that is so working for you, and you might just need to just continue to do that. I think it's beautiful that you can access what you're having access through meditation.
Beautiful. Thank you. Wanted to speak a little bit about, you know, this is something that I've grappled with, and I've researched a lot. How crucial or how critical is, you know, the inner child, when the inner child's needs aren't met due to neglect? And when I've looked at it myself, it's because the parents weren't present. The parents' nervous system could have been fried from their own trauma. And then there's ancestral trauma. And then there's war. There is lack of food, lack of safety, lack of abundance. So this is one of the reasons why I personally started to do ancestral work, because I saw that, you know, a lot of what's passed on in our subconscious is not even ours. So I'd love for you to kind of speak on that.
That's great. Again, I'm going to credit the MAP work for putting so much, such breadth and depth. Because from our MAP point of view, past lives and the field, the morphogenic field that your parents, your family, the community, the country, this world holds, the collection, the cloud of information is very influential. I'll use an example. If you are going to the doctor, you are aligned with and contaminated, influenced by the allopathic medicine, not naturopathic, not homeopathic, or anything else. And it has its certain diagnoses and prognosis and methods of treatment and so forth. When you're caught in that, you're working all the belief systems of that. And because allopathic medicine is a symptom treatment, if you get a diagnosis of cancer, you've got really dire choices often to make. Whereas someone who with that diagnosis of cancer with homeopathic, holistic, natural alternatives, you know, they've got choices and they can make, carve their own path. They can take responsibility. So the morphogenic field of allopathic medicine has a tendency to take over your responsibility for your wellness. So that would be one aspect of it. So when you go to a physician, a traditionally trained physician, this is what you participate in. And so in the MAP work, and even matrix energetics is about this, dissolving those fields so that you're not buying into the limitations of it.
Oh, I love that.
So in MAP, we do the field work that come from the culture you came from, your parents, and the generational stuff that gets passed on. And we ask superconscious to treat all of these fields so that the influence over you can be released. Any sense of karma, it can be part of a belief system you got conditioned with. And so if something bad happens, you believe, oh, it's my karma. And you get caught in that field of belief with its limitations, right?
Right.
So many fields that limit choices, that limit responsibility. And the more you can be free to feel that you carve your destiny, that's the kind of freedom from all these influences that we can treat, that we're aware of.
I
love that. Ancestor healing, past life, all of that too.
Yeah, I feel like most of the roads lead to the same path, or the
right.
You know, there's multiple paths that lead to the same road, essentially, where you are really just coming back home to yourself is something that you said in your bio. I really feel that the more work that we do, slowly, slowly we chip away and we're just returning back to our essential nature that... But
yes.
even then, isn't there all a divine design?
Well, if you come back to spirit as I know spirit, there is a divine design. And the overall feeling of the design is that it all is about oneness and it's about unity. As you said, we're all on the same path that are converging.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are a billion ways to get home. And we need to sensitize ourselves, in my mind, to intuition, the voice of spirit, the trust that we can have in that, so that we quit struggling, striving, and suffering, because we can trust. So ultimately to get to the point of being able to truly trust getting there.
Right.
And you know, it's all set up before us. Trust that it's the right path. Trust with all the little glitches that help got in the way of our beginning our conversation, I would say early on, I can just trust it's going to happen the way it's supposed to happen. And when I can remember that, I can relax, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I wanted to ask you about any breakthroughs that you'd like to mention in some of your sessions, or like something that really stands out with someone that you have worked with that has really been life-altering or life-changing that you'd like to share?
Right now, nothing specific comes to mind.
Okay.
I remember one woman that I have worked with for maybe 8 to 10 sessions in the last 2-3 months. And I keep thinking, she's the MAP coaching monthly program, so she has a lot of access to MAP work, but she keeps returning. This last time, what she needed to work on were things like making a decision when she was 8 that she was going to save her mother.
Mm.
So that her life was all about saving her mother. Another remembrance she had was regarding her father. He doesn't hear me. He doesn't know me. And then coming to a place, I wish I could remember the right phrase of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was something like, am I worth knowing?
Mm.
Something like this, where it was touching the essential wound. She could feel the pain of all these things.
Mm.
So I think she reached the deepest layer of the original trauma. I'm not seen. I'm not heard. No one seems to care. And that is really painful. So they all came together, and we, in sequence, could treat what was expressed in each level of pain, which I think is taking care of the original trauma. And that's where, for me, the heart of it needs to be. We need to find and allow that original pain and hurt of feeling abandoned, rejected, alone, outside of heaven's gate, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's our human anguish.
Right.
So that can happen in this journey. And for me, with working with bats and their inner child, this is my experience of it, so that the journey of a lifetime gets kind of condensed through these few phrases expressing the original pain. Mm. I hope I answered your question for you.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's really beautiful. I think for a lot of us, the real issue is you're just constantly doing, and you're trying to reach this state of bliss and nirvana. And along the way, there are so many blissful moments and so many ecstatic moments and so many beautiful experiences, but yet some part of us is still looking for this complete, like, homeostasis, this complete balance, you know, this complete nirvana. So I don't know how much of that is an illusory state where in any moment you can still experience, you know, I really do feel that there's highs and lows, and it's about how well you navigate it, like how well you ride the waves.
Exactly. And this helps me bring up my spiritual practice, which is tied to One with God, series of six books. Mm-hmm. The subtitle is called Awakening Through the Voice of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I have been, as a teenager, through my Christian period and left it behind for decades and decades. And any time you bring up Christian terminology, I usually run into a resistance and, no, I'm not going to go there. But these books were the voice that dictated A Course in Miracles, mm-hmm, is the same voice that is dictating in these books. And the awakening that is described is awakening from the dream of this world created by ego. Mm. So all of this everyday world we live in, through which we need to negotiate the highs and lows, can be better done if you get the picture that this is an ego-created world. Mm. And not to get caught up with your own small self into that in deciding it's so wrong and I need to write and change that, or this person is so bad and wrong, he or she needs to be changed. You know, the ego that grasps the need to do, rather than the being that which is experienced in meditation, in moments of bliss. See, it's not so much getting to bliss, but realizing the peace there is something that you can have every moment to negotiate. Because in that period of bliss, there is no small s, self. Hmm. There is only self with a big S. Mm. This is present. And the presence is always here. So what One with God has taught me is I can count on the constant presence of spirit every second. So when I come on this call, I can trust that spirit has led me to say what I needed to say, because the persons who will hear this, you and others, their path informed what it is that I was supposed to say. So that kind of trust that I have, alignment with spirit that I have, makes this world, the dream that you're dreaming, I don't need to take seriously. Mm. Does that make sense?
Oh, that was so beautifully put. It was so heart-touching. Such a perfect way to end this podcast. Yeah, it was so beautiful. I felt it right in my core. I truly did.
Oh.
And I thank you for doing the work and offering this beautiful modality. I'm very, very interested in it. I love trying new things. I've done a lot of the work that you have previously mentioned in your bio, Psych-K, Matrix Energetics, and a lot of these other modalities. And yeah, I hope and pray that everyone has learned from this. Please like, share, and subscribe. And remember, you are worth it. You are worth the healing. You know, I always say, don't ever let money stop you. A lot of people don't do the work because they're so tied in that other matrix of, you know, I need to save. But really, that's a whole nother topic. And thank you so much, Anne, for for coming on today, sharing your wisdom, your light, and your beauty with all of the listeners here today on Speak Your Truth podcast. And please let people know where they can find you, where they can find your books and more information on Instagram.
Yeah, so you know, just as you found me on Instagram, I'm at Anne K. Waymora, PhD. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you put in hashtags with inner child and inner child healing, you can find me eventually. But I put a lot of efforts into my videos and into my posts, trying to share my experiences. And it's a wonderful way to connect
with others
and with you. And I want to say, for you, as young as you are, doing what you're doing, oh my God, what a gift you are. Thank you
so much. Thank you everyone for listening. I will link all of her information in the notes section. Please definitely check her out, and remember, you are worth it. Be happy, blessed, and well. Thank you so much. See you next time.
Thank you so much for taking the time and tuning in today. Hopefully you learned some valuable tools. And if you need more inspiration, health or transformational coaching, or spiritual mentoring sessions, please visit www.depthfuljourney.com, and you can find more ways to connect with Sonia there. Stay tuned for the next episode, and please don't forget to share, like, and subscribe.